Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KJ Show. KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Remember, you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI and brings you right here. You can rewind. You can also listen on the iHeart app. You just don't have the ability to rewind feature, so you can hear Lines and Ball. I had to have a little conversation with John in the hallway. How dare you have an affair in front of me. With Dan Ball on a Saturday, like right in my face. I'm totally kidding. It's great hearing those guys together. I think some way we'll have a threesome. I think, you know, okay, wait.
Pause.
Over the holiday schedule, I'm seeing some of the holiday schedule come down. So I look forward to playing in the sandbox with Dan Ball.
Pause.
Look, if you go to Vegas odds, they'll tell you that Matthew Stafford is the favorite, the odds on favorite. I wouldn't say runaway minus 2.3-1, 2.4-1, with Drake May as a 2-1 odds to win it. He's in the second position. And look, I'm not going to take away from what Matthew Stafford is doing, what the Rams are doing. I just really believe it's kind of like, okay, this is like giving Karl Malone the MVP the year that Jordan was really the MVP, just because you want to give it to somebody else because you don't want. I think part of it is part of the backlash. I think there's an element. Can I define who they are? They might be in Bristol, but they're like, they don't want to hear even more talk about Drake May or the Patriots, right? Because for 20 years, all you had was Patriots all in your face. So Matthew Stafford, despite he might not win his division. Like, that's the other part of it. Like, they are only a game and a half in front of on Seattle, but I think they've beaten Seattle. They still have to play they've beaten Seattle and beaten the 49ers. So they in kind of a driver's seat. Of course, that driver's seat can eject you, especially when those two teams have only four losses, right? So right now, every team in the NFC West minus Arizona would be in the playoffs today. So, okay. Yeah. You lead the NFC West. Look, I'm not a believer in Sam Darnold. I don't care how much money or what the record is. Sam Darnold, I don't know, won 14 games last year in Minnesota and lost the most important game, which was like game 18. I'm not a big believer in Sam Darnold. And literally something between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy has given San Francisco 8 wins, right? Like, think about that. A combination of Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, literally the last guy taken in the draft and the guy who was taken in the draft who they thought would be one of the first guys taken in the draft. And both of, I mean, Brock Purdy's still kind of a superhero story. I still think the verdict's out on him. But Mac Jones in the mix of, look, I just don't think that Stafford has had a more MVP-esque season than Drake May. Now, Drake May did stumble a little in that Cincinnati game, but just some things to consider. Who would you think has the better completion percentage rate? Matthew Stafford or Drake May? Josh, who do you think has the better completion?
I would feel like it's Drake May.
That is correct. So if you think that, hey, because Stafford's doing all this stuff, nearly 5 percentage points better is Drake May than Matthew Stafford. Okay, well, Matthew Stafford, man, I mean, the guy's just gunslinging all the time. Does he have more yards than Drake May passing? Drake May's about 300 yards ahead of him. Touchdowns, he is ahead of him, 30-21, but he leads the league in touchdowns. Touchdown percentage, he leads the league in that at 8%. Drake May's right at about 6. 2 interceptions by Matthew Stafford, okay, that's kind of cool. And while he leads the league in first downs with 144, guess who is second? Yeah, Drake May. Drake May, better average yards per throw, right? So Drake May's getting the ball down the field better. More yards per game. The QB rating is only separated by 3 points between Stafford and Drake May. So you're like, okay, some of the things that I'm telling you right there, you would probably say are a push, right? And I would say, like, if you just looked at those things right there, you would like, okay, I could probably see how either one of those could be the MVP. Here's where I think it's like, okay, come on, really? Puka Nacua has the most targets in the league and is second only is Devontae Adams. So literally, targets 1 and targets 2 in the NFL play with Matthew Stafford. Puka Nacua leads, he's 4th in the league in receptions with 80, and then Devontae Adams has 48. So 128 receptions between the two out of 248 total completions for Stafford. So out of 248 total completions, 138, did I just tell you, go to 2 guys. Drake May has more completions at 252. Stephon Diggs comes in at 11th in the league with 61 receptions. Devontae Adams has the most touchdowns for all receivers, 12. Nacua has 4. Stephon Diggs has 3. So here's how the receivers rank, or people who've caught balls for each quarterback in terms of receptions. Puka Nacua 4th, Stephon Diggs 11th, Devontae Adams 33, Hunter Henry 50th, Matt Hollins 83rd, Travion Henderson 93. Should I keep going? 116, Kayshon Booty, 121, DeMario Douglas, 129, Kyren Williams for the Rams, Ramondre Stevenson 170, Austin Hooper number 178. Who's done more with perceptively less? It's Drake May. Like, did this Hunter, like, think how many times you've heard, like, oh, wow, he finds Austin Hooper for something key. Austin Hooper has 16 receptions and he's 178th in the league. That's like if every team went to a 4 wide receiver set in the league, he would still find if he would finish behind all those receivers in the league. Can we admit that Stafford is being considered? Now, don't get me wrong, his numbers look great, but this is more about, we just can't give it to a second-year guy just like that. And you know how people feel about that team. It is the team. This is why I think all that narrative is happening. Ah, they're playing against fool's gold, this, that, and third. Okay, what? You got different size footballs? I don't mean to go there. But are the goalposts shorter? You know, does Matthew Stafford have to go 12 yards to get a first down and everybody else gets dead? What's the big difference other than Matthew Stafford has been in the league? He's finally won himself a championship. The only thing that's missing from his resume is an MVP. And I would have said without the MVP, Matthew Stafford is still a Hall of Fame quarterback. But it shouldn't be at the expense of Drake May, who's doing what he's doing. It's like Karl Malone, right? Like, it's like, bro, you were not better than Jordan that year, but you were given the MVP because they felt like somebody else had to have it. So you mean to tell me, let's just say, Drake May beats Josh Allen twice this year. Let's say he beats Lamar Jackson as well when they're on their runs and wins the AFC East. Meanwhile, if Stafford doesn't win the NFC West, well, they'll still be a playoff team, but should he be the MVP if he doesn't even win his division? Right? Because it's not a runaway in the West. In the AFC East, you're really one game away. You're really from a Buffalo slip-up game, either against the Patriots in December in a few weeks, or between now and then, between saying the AFC is sewn up, AFC East is sewn up. Yeah, there's no way you can't tell me that at least Drake May should be even money. So instead of 2-1, probably 1-1 at this point. I think that still has room to happen, especially if you end up getting victories on the road against Baltimore and then beating Josh Allen for a second time at home here in these next few weeks. 617-779-7937. It's also the text line. Next, we'll get into some Celtics talk in terms of the NBA Cup and how the team is kind of turning some things around. We'll also get into NBA crypto, but now it's time to trend. My man, Josh Bracken.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins fell to the Rangers 6-2 yesterday afternoon. Morgan Geeky scored his 18th goal of the year in that loss. The Bees are right back at it tonight as they prepare to play the Red Wings at 7 p.m. Both David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha are listed as day-to-day. The Celtics are on the road tonight to play the Timberwolves. They'll be looking to get their third straight win after beating the Orlando Magic and Detroit Pistons earlier this week. Jaylen Brown and Nnamdi Keita are listed as questionable, while Derek White is listed as probable, with tip-off set at 5 p.m. Boston College is preparing to play Syracuse at 3 p.m. You can hear the call of that game right here on 93.7 WEEI. Coverage begins at 2:30. The Patriots look to win their 10th straight game on Monday night against the New York Giants. Harold Landry, Brendan Schooler, Kyrus Tonga, and Jared Wilson did not practice yesterday, while Jelani Tavai was limited. Kickoff is set for 8:15 on Monday night. I'm Josh Bracken. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only. Get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Calm.
He said I thought the floor was kind of unacceptable. I think guys were just slipping all over the place. Not just me.
Is that the first time you felt that? Because you guys played on your own court. Was that slippery too? Are they all slippery or was it this one?
The one we played in Boston was fine. Like, I thought it was...
KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937, taking you up to Boston College pregame, though probably a lot of pregaming has been going on all season for the Boston College fans. Pregaming, during gaming, after gaming, kickoff at 3 o'clock, pregame at 2:30 here on WEEI. You just heard Jaylen Brown talking about the slippery NBA Cup floors. Says the one in Boston's fine, and I would think you're probably used to it because that's yours. You get to practice on it and everything like that. But when you go on the road and play these games, this is what I like. Either these are regular season games on a regular court, maybe, I don't know, instead of painting the whole thing green and making it look like someone's project, you know, like you almost feel like you're only creating these courts so that way someone will buy a replica and put it in their home. Like everything doesn't have to be monetized. Damn. But the courts are just, they're dumb. And when you start seeing that type of colored paint on the floor, you're like, man, that thing looks slippery as hell. And these guys already wear, in essence, what are flip-flops in terms of basketball sneakers. Like, nobody has ankle protection. I mean, look at Halliburton, look at Tatum, both of them. You almost can literally see their injury happen in small, low-cut shoes. And now we're going to put them on a slippery court. Way to go, Adam Silver. Way to love on the product. I mean, I'm not saying people, we need to wear butter Tims out there to protect their ankles, but gosh, if they're already in small ankle shoes and unprotected ankle shoes, why are we now introducing slippery courts that require you pretty much stay in the game and score as much as you can as possible? Like this is, I wonder sometimes what really goes on with the NBA. I do worry about its popularity waning a little bit because one, the sport gives some people a built-in inherited excuse to not like the sport. They're just not going to like the... I still remember people saying, oh, Jordan, all he is a dunker. It's just like, bro, we're excited. They've got people 18 hours ahead of us ready to watch the game. Like, celebrate this. Now, this feels a little bit like a combination of the dress code era when Iverson was in the league. Like, okay, you guys got to wear a suit. What is this, the airport? What are you, the government? Dress code era... Now you can't really make people do the dress code thing. In fact, the dress code, I think they should probably enforce it because some of these guys are absolutely wearing stuff that's total garbage. Oh my gosh, what are these guys are walking into the arena, you know, like it's a fashion show. Like, bro, my parlay does not care about your pink slacks right now. Like, do work. And so you come up with these other different gimmicks because we're in this society like you can't, like, oh gosh, how sensitive it is. Like, you care how they dress. Doesn't it just care about what they're on the floor? I kind of get that. But it doesn't have to bleed over into the NBA Cup. It really does not. But I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to gain more interest in the product before Christmas. And then you see the Christmas Day lineups. You'd be like, shoot, honey, fire up the Netflix today. You know, because I say this about the NBA, and they've made a huge mistake on this. Just the same way you heard me talking about how this New England versus everybody thing is kind of permeating back into this football talk because the Patriots are good. I think the NBA failed to use the Celtics as the national villain. Trust us, we'd have no problem with that. As the national villain against the rest of the league. So that way when the Celtics show up in these other places, that basketball still kind of being figured out in Toronto and San Antonio. And, you know, like the Heat literally the Heat were smart. At least they tried to hitch their wagon to the Celtics and say, you know, oh, we got Heat culture. It's just like, bro, we have banners older than your entire franchise. Several of them, you know. You need to have the Celtics as the bad guy. The Lakers are for anybody who's just heard of basketball, right? Like, the Lakers are not anything like when they won it in a bubble. You were like, okay, maybe that's the best time for the Lakers to kind of win it because everybody's home and you at least lead Los Angeles. But the NBA literally was built on, in terms of what you see now, in terms of how popular it is now, Boston Celtics versus 76ers versus Los Angeles Lakers. And I'd even throw the Milwaukee Bucks in there as the team that couldn't get their head above water. A little old school here. I just heard Dan and John talk, you know, we talk about like the greatest rivalries of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lakers versus Celtics. You've got it in black and white. You've got it in color television. You've got the history of the Lakers about to drop the balloons and announce all the people who are going to be there. You've got Russell as the head coach. You then got Bird winning a championship. And then Magic, you know, you got Magic winning a championship and Bird winning the MVP. And then Bird winning a championship and Magic winning an MVP. Like, I hope people realize because of the Lakers versus the Celtics, Jordan was even relevant in terms of the NBA. There's, if you're of a certain age, and I'm like the little kid in that certain age, you remember when NBA playoff games were shown after the 11 o'clock news. They used to tell you, watching television, hey, if you're interested in watching the game that's going to be next here on WBZ, you know, TV, turn your head or put your hand over your eyes or cover your ears if you don't want this because the game's already been played. Lakers-Celtics start with Magic versus Bird in college. And there are other social components that go along with it. But I feel like the NBA is trying to hitch its wagon onto Oklahoma City when, I mean, there's more people in Middlesex County than there are in all of Oklahoma City. Am I wrong? So by not really trying to push the Celtics to the forefront, let people say whatever they want to say. You've got the two highest paid players in the league playing for the Celtics, even the ones out in injury. That's one reason for people to hate the Celtics, right? The two biggest salaries of these two guys, always in the playoffs, always getting a push. You know, and the NBA's miss. I just really feel like they're missing out on the boat. Now, maybe a rejuvenated Celtics once Tatum is back and whatever they do off of the cusp of this season, what happens? Because the season is not really designed to try and win a championship. The team is not going to go far. I think it's to the point where, hey, whatever money I paid to be here tonight, I at least want to be able to see an enjoyable game. And I think the Celtics are starting to get to that point, right? Where, okay, you're not going to win it all. You're not going to win most. Can you compete? Make it interesting. Maybe even be one of those teams that, let's just say, once you get to the playoffs, if you're in the play-in tournament, I've always thought that this Celtics team was going to be a play-in tournament team. Make the play-in tournament extremely exciting and fun and interesting. Make that run. And then just hope for, you know, one of these younger teams to be towards the top and give them a fight to show that, okay, one, free agents who could fit under the cap could say, hey, what Mazzulla did with that team with Brown and a cast of, you know, sidekicks, maybe Tatum comes back towards the end of the season and, you know, they're formidable. But again, if they're out of the... If they're like a 9-10 seed going towards it and Tatum isn't really ready back, do you really put him in that? Do you put him in that gauntlet? I don't know. But at some point, the NBA has to realize that you have to get off the LeBron Teton Mountain. So that way I don't say the word and people say he said that word. So I put it into the original word where it comes from. Right? You didn't know that, Josh, did you?
No, not at all.
The Teton Mountains, because it's a couple of twin mountains. Are you familiar with the Teton Mountain Range?
I am not.
Okay, so henceforth, when you shorten Teton, you get an idea of getting off of LeBron's whatever. And the league has depended on it for too long. You're trying to, that's why people are like, how did Luka get to Los Angeles and Dallas really give up nothing or call anybody back? It's because there's a scramble in the NBA. Right, there's an absolute scramble in the NBA. Steph Curry, you almost feel like, you know, Steph Curry, who's been a good representative face of the league with Golden State, really gave it a push for the league, for kids to get interested into the game. You can now be Andy Hart size and feel like you're NBA ready. I'm totally kidding, but that's what Steph Curry did. He now made the 5'6 kid in high school believe that he can go pro because he can shoot him from 35 out. And what you ended up really getting was Caitlin Clark, right? Like, all that work, son, and just for that girl at Iowa to get all that noise. But, I mean, when you just look at the strength of the Western Conference and then hear how uninspiring it is for the NBA in terms of its overall product. I mean, the Thunder are number one. They're NBA champions. If a tree falls into the woods, does anybody hear it? I mean, literally, that's what you have. It's boring. It's non-controversial. They're all friends. It's all lovely and roses. It's boring. Oklahoma City is boring. Then you got the Lakers there, and you're like, okay, this is kind of like eating cotton candy for dinner. As long as LeBron is healthy now, that's fine, but LeBron still has to play the rest of the season. There's always a chance that Luka could suddenly go off the diet and the whole nine and whatnot. The Rockets, market size, cool, but not really that interesting. The Spurs, yeah, Wemby's great. He loves Pokemon. That fits a narrative, but I'm trying to get you. Think Lakers, Celtics, and national television, NBA playoffs, NBA finals. I mean, you're all over the country, and people are having conversations about why they hate the Celtics or why they hate the Lakers. I don't think there's been anything greater. Even if you're talking Yankees, Red Sox, one of them has to go in order to go on. Like, you know, when you come back from, it was anticlimactic after, you know, after Johnny Damon hits the grand slam and erases the whole 3-0 deficit magic thing, it did go downhill. It was a sweep against St. Louis. It was one of the most boring World Series I've ever watched. Why? Because all the excitement was before them. Wait, you get Lakers-Celtics. That's for everything, you know. But the Nuggets, look, Jokic might be one of the greatest big men we've ever seen. This is a boring product. The Suns, boring. Timberwolves, a little bit boring. The Warriors, they're old, not boring, right? This is the issue that the league has. And especially where you now see that they're losing. They've lost the Christmas battle. They're no longer, the NFL has just said, look what we do. And all we have to do is just say, we'll put on football games. So get the NBA crypto here shortly. We'll look at the NBA teams, where they stand, high, low, buy, sell, or their diamond hands. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Ralph, thank you so much for calling the KJ Show on WEEI. Good Saturday to you.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, you were mentioning the MVP and Stafford versus May. Yeah. Look, they're both having really good years. And we know, fans know, this is our guy. He had to prove himself this year. This is our guy. We love May. But, you know, when you look at this, I've been saying since the second game, I love the Patriots receivers. And people, you know, on shows are saying, well, you know, yeah, they got a lot of them, but, you know, they're not the greatest. New England leads the league in reception percentage at 70%, which is amazing.
That's right.
That's amazing. He's completing 70. But let's give the receivers a credit, a big credit for this, too. I've never seen a team that hardly ever drops a ball like this team. These receivers, he's got so many of them, too. They all catch the ball. And that's phenomenal. I mean, he's throwing the ball to them, and he's a good quarterback. But where my vote goes to Stafford, is that, and we all know this, you look at red zone touchdown percentage, he's 19th. New England's 19th in the league at that. And they're leading the league. They have the best record in football, but they're 19th. That's where he really has to mature a little bit and get those touchdown percentage up. But Stafford's sixth.
Let me ask you this real quick. I understand the red zone percentage number that you're talking about, but again, you've seen from New England the long ball that you have not seen. I can't remember when was the last. Probably, I don't want to say Moss. I don't want to be as, you know, as golden days as that. But seeing the ball go up in the air 35, 40 yards and coming down for 60-yard plays, you're doing that and you don't have Davante Adams or Puka Nacua, right? If you have Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, you should be able to do anything you want on the field. That's why Davante Adams has 12 touchdowns, right? You're talking, this is who he's going to in the red zone. And first downs, Puka Nacua leads the league with 48. So that's who he's going for the rest of the field. Drake May is using everybody, right? Did you really believe that Mac Hollins was going to end up being as important as he is now when the season started, when he was acquired?
No, of course
not. Right.
Some of these guys, Boutte, all of them are playing better than we thought they would play. But the thing about it, and he deserves a lot of credit too, is that he's got probably – more receivers, and he hasn't even really, we're touching the surface on how important Henderson's going to be. Henderson is a great pass catcher, and he's fast. In the second half, can we catch this guy? We've seen him make a couple of catches in the end zone. And Williams, we haven't got much out of him either. He's got a lot of receivers. To me, he's got better pass catchers as far as how many he has than anybody in the league. I'm not trying to take away from him at all. I love Drake May. I love so much about him. And he's just got to protect himself running the ball a little too. Where, you know, he gets hit a little hard. And he'll learn that through experience. But I just think that the wide receivers just don't get enough credit. Yeah, we don't have Devontae Adams, but we got Diggs, and he's motivated. And they got a lot of guys. We got two tight ends that both are good catching the ball too. And I think that
maybe you're missing my point. And my point is actually because all these receivers have been able to make Drake May available for the conversation of MVP. Thanks so much for the call. So, again, back to what I was saying was, if I had Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua as my two receivers, not one or the other, but both of my receivers, I should be in a conversation for MVP automatically. But what happens when the guy comes along who's in his second year and is allowing Kayshon Boutte to be able to grow into the receiver that you thought he would be? To reaffirm that Stephon Diggs is the guy who you don't have to get 100 receptions from. Because remember, that's the conversation was kind of like, well, what would a successful season from Stephon Diggs look like? And I said, if he gets over 80 receptions for the year, then that would be a successful season. But he may not get to 80, and this team still may be number one seed in the AFC. It would be totally different if, let's say, Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson were working to combine to get to somewhere around 2,000 yards for the season, you know, in terms of total yards from scrimmage. They combined over 2,000 yards for the season. That's not the case. Stevenson's been out for several games. Henderson is just starting to become RB1 over the last few weeks, right? Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, Drake May really is most valuable, because you would say, take Drake May off of this team or put Josh Dobbs in there. Okay, that's not fair. Let's just say, put Baker Mayfield with this squad. Do you feel like you get the same results? Do you feel like you get the same things out of the same guys? I'm not saying that Baker Mayfield couldn't get the job done. I'm just saying you've got a second year guy who's getting the job done, who's not leaning on. Okay, here's a better scenario. Let's just take away three of the receivers that the Patriots have and replace it with Devontae Adams. And he's doing the same thing. You know what the conversation would be? Well, if I had Devontae Adams too, I'd depend on him, or Puka Nacua or whatever. Is it really him? So I can almost say, like, if Matthew Stafford was on this team, would he be able to do what Drake May is doing? Possibly. I'm not saying he's inept. But what I'm saying is, here you have a young guy who's not leaning on Steph Diggs to be his everything, who's not leaning into Hunter Henry to be his everything. Things are being spread out. You mentioned that, you know, Williams getting together on the same page. I think part of that goes back to preseason, where I was kind of like, okay, can we get Drake May in there with Williams? Because Josh Dobbs is trying to get this guy killed. So maybe they just haven't had that chance to be able to work themselves out, but those things could still help out, especially down the season as things go, right? Because if I'm a defense and I'm looking at a tape, I'm looking at the Rams tape, first thing I'm saying is, we got to do everything we can to eliminate what Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams can do, right? But if I'm looking at the Patriots tape, you're like, well, wow, last week it was Pop Douglas. Well, the week before that it was Kayshon Boutte. Then week before that, it was Stephon Diggs. They've got Hunter Henry. Like all of those names that I mentioned, maybe Steph Diggs is the one receiver that makes the Pro Bowl, right? This is literally a team that might have three Pro Bowlers: May, Gonzalez, Steph Diggs. And even Steph Diggs at 61 receptions, you would say, well, does he get on the team before Jamar Chase? No. Does he get on the team before, say, I'm trying to think of another AFC stud receiver, which I can't think of one right off top of hand, because so many of these quarterbacks are, you know, in the AFC are very dynamic what they do. So probably Steph Diggs does probably make it as the third Patriot. Where with the Rams, it's Nacua, it's Davante Adams, it's Matthew Stafford right away. Right away. So, all right, let's go ahead and get to NBA crypto. Let's buy or sell some of these NBA teams. Let's do this, Josh. All right, I'll tell you what, we could do that in a later break. We'll go to break. We come back. We'll get to some more of your texts. And the Bruins are banged up right at the time when the division is starting to unfurl. We'll get to Bruins a little bit here next here on WEEI. Thanks so much, Frank.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah. KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. It's also the text line. We're a couple minutes away from NBA crypto. Well, we buy or sell the NBA teams where they sit right now. And are some of these teams sitting right where they're supposed to be sitting? Yeah, it's been interesting traveling over the holidays for those of you who've been getting up and down the road. I find it interesting that, I guess they want people to dress better. At airports, have you seen this, Josh, where they want people? I don't know. Is there going to be kind of this? Because I think we all thought that you want to wear the loosest clothing possible so that way you can get in and out of the stuff and keep the thing moving. Now, if I'm going to wear, like, why would I wear a suit where I've got to take off multiple pieces of clothing? Like, do you really believe that those bins are washed every night at the end of work? Like, they're just recycled over. So now I put my good suit jacket in there. That gets dirty. Now that's some cleaning bill that I got to take. Why don't I just wear the clothes that I'm just going to wear to be comfortable? I guess I could share this. So I guess at the height of just making sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's when it came to traveling, I like to fly with gray sweatpants, just in sweatpants. You know, so I got some gray sweatpants on, whatever. So I go through the thing and wait a minute, come back here. What's the problem? You're like, well, there's something on the screen here we need you to come walk through again. Walk through. Now it's becoming like this thing, and I'm flying back to Boston, no less. So now it's kind of like, are they going to start sending my information up the line? Watch out for this guy flying back to Boston. Come back around. Three times I go through the screen. So now my family's wondering why I haven't passed through TSA where they could see me on the other side. So finally the guy comes up to me. He's just like, can I see this wand? Put this wand on you and everything. He's just like, oh, I got it. Go ahead, sir. So this is why people dress comfortably. I'm just putting it out there. This is why they dress comfortably. All right, text line 617-779-7937. Let's do one or two texts, and then we'll get into NBA crypto. What you got, Josh?
The Giants game may end up similarly to the Raiders game for the Patriots. I smell a trap game Monday night.
Yeah, you have to treat it as such. There's been so much noise about the Patriots from that same network. So you know what the buildup is going to be that day. The talk is going to be increased. They're going to do it just so that way they know that they get eyes on the game. Usually Monday night football games can be hit or miss, but this actually might be one of the more compelling 10-2 versus 2-10 games just because of all the noise that have been made by people on the network leading up to that. So I don't think it's – there's a part of me that thinks it was no mistake of trying to go hard on that knowing
– Pause.
Yeah, that you knew that the Giants were about to play the Patriots in an upcoming Monday night game. You know that the Giants are horrible. You know you need eyes on it. You've just launched an app. So what do? You might make a little bit of noise that leads up to everything being talked about that Monday. Everything that's going to be talked about is going to be the noise that's going back and forth between the station and Cam Newton and Stephen A. Smith and Drake May. And Mike Vrabel got into the middle of it as well. He clapped back. So with all that going on, I think the most important thing is don't let a 2-10 team suddenly get courage in front of you. And a team that's had leads in the fourth quarter. Now, for me, I think it's probably better for the Giants. Well, it's better for the Patriots that Jameis Winston isn't playing just because he has this uncanny way of being able to lead his team in and out of unlikely situations. And boy, that would have made the Giants season. I think the conversation changes a little bit about their future if suddenly, you know, Jameis Winston comes into Foxborough and gets another W like he did when he was with the Saints. That was one of the worst Patriots games I've ever seen when Mac Jones was here. So, I think that's part of the narrative. All right, one more, and then we'll get into NBA crypto.
Do you think the Bruins make any moves, or do you think they're fine letting things stay as they are?
You know, with all the injuries, you have to keep an eye on that, right? Because... and then the other side of that is, I don't know if management wants to put this team through what they saw last year when they just started peeling guys out of here. Now, peeling guys out of here last year made a lot of sense of everything that was going on. Clearly, whatever was concocted over the last 3.5 years just wasn't working. And I think upstairs is just kind of like, you know what, if these guys just compete and there's not a whole lot of drama, then yeah, I think they ride it out. I'll get into some Bruins before I get out of here. But right now it is time for...
$1.
Thank you, Lewis.
Bang, Stu.
Going to be in the moon.
$1.
Thank you, Lewis.
$1.
Going to be in the moon.
And you're selling, Mortimer. Well, that's ridiculous. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
All right, this is where we buy and sell NBA teams where they currently sit. Let's start with the Western Conference, the Pelicans. Yeah, they're right where they need to be. They suck. The Mavericks, what a surprise. I thought they would be better. I think they will eventually, so I'm going to sell them being the second worst team
in
the West.
Turn those machines back on!
Now, the Kings don't matter. The Clippers are the Clippers, the Jazz, the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers. Let's get to the Warriors. Right now, they sit in eighth. They're 10-10. I think age catches up with them. I think they're one of these teams that are sitting right where they are towards the bottom of the West. Diamond hands. I don't know how much diamond hands you are when you're near the bottom. The Timberwolves at 7. I think this team's a little bit better because of their size that compete. I'm going to buy them being a little bit better than where they are. Just a little bit. The Phoenix Suns are over-indexing. Let's just call it what it is. They're 12-8. They're 7 of their last 10. They've won, but I don't. I'm selling them being middle of the pack.
Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
The Nuggets, they're 5, and I'm gonna put diamond hands on them. But I think they're right at where I think they're going to be. The Spurs are at 4. I think they drop a little because would Wemby going out this early? Does he go out again during the season? Look, they're hot without him. They've won 7 of their last 10. They're 8-2 at home. I'm gonna sell them being 4, maybe 6.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
And I'm gonna go diamond hands with the Rockets at 3. I'm gonna sell the Lakers at 2.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
And the Thunder, I'm going to put them at number 1 diamond hands. Damn it, they have one loss. And they've won 11 in a row. All right, to the Eastern Conference, where at the very bottom are the Washington Wizards. Who cares? This is where they've always been. The Pacers, they stay there as well with the injury. The Nets, I'm surprised they have 3 wins. The Hornets, yeah, they're behind schedule on their under 500 campaign. The Bucks at 8-12. This is interesting because I want to sell them being this low, okay? But this is too low for what they are. Keep an eye on what Giannis may be asking for come the trade deadline. Stay tuned. The Celtics, same thing with the Bulls. They're 500 team. Vucevic, he doesn't look at his teammates the way they look at him and laugh with him. I'm going to sell the Bulls being a 10th place team.
Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
Because I think they might be a little bit worse by things the way they end. The Celtics are at 9 at 10-8. They've won 7 of their last 10, which is impressive enough. But to say that the Celtics is the 9th place team in the East is right where they are. It's the most uncomfortable diamond hands. I think this is where they finish. The 76ers, yeah, I just there's a disconnect, but because they've got some younger players that are more of a role this year, I'm going to buy them being around here at 8. Same thing with the Magic. The Cavs, I think, are a little bit better than 6. I think the Hawks are diamond hands with Porzingis there. I think that's going to help them tremendously. Knicks, same thing at 4. Heat at 3. I'm going to sell them. I think they're a little bit worse.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
Gosh, the Raptors have won 9 in a row. I guess I got to believe, huh? And even though the Pistons, look, they just had a huge winning streak. Now they've lost 2 in a row. Of course, the losing streak started with the Celtics. But diamond hands, they are the best team in the East. And that is NBA crypto here on WEEI. We take you up to 2:30 here, getting you ready for BC Syracuse next here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out. KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Remember, at 2:30. Pregame for BC versus Syracuse to wrap up the BC football season. Kickoff at 3. Hear it all here on WEEI. So, of course, the conversation about the Red Sox is the acquisition of Sonny Gray. Dickie Fitz is gone. And I understand why Breslow didn't give Sonny Gray a number slot in the rotation. And I think the reason is if he came out of his breath and said, we look for Sonny Gray to be the number 2 starter, this place would go livid, right? Because the winter meetings hasn't happened yet. You haven't gotten into the mix of things. You just saw Dylan Cisco the very next day. So I think it's really a question of, and it's not a bad one, is does management still believe that Bayo has the stuff to be a number 2? And is Sonny Gray the guy that they brought in to push him to say, if you don't have it, you're 3 is what you are, and this is what you're going to be. Now, the other side of it, you would say is, hey, go get a number 2 and then let you could decide if Sonny Gray's your 3 or your 4 with Bayo. Then that now we're having a totally different conversation about what this team could be and what it could do in the playoffs, because I think when you're missing that number 2, it hurts you more in the short series than once you get the full chance to play out the 7-game series. So like if you go back to that Yankee series, you're like, hey, if you had a strong 1 or 2, you had Crochet and a strong number 2 right behind him. Going into that game 3, you're not thinking about, we got to put the ball in the rookie's hands and hopefully we can piecemeal it together. You would say, no, we've got our number 3, and if the 3 suffers, we've got a pretty decent 4. So imagine in game three, you might say, let's just go with Joe Ryan, right? Just to tickle everybody's face. So you go Crochet game one, Joe Ryan game two. Then in game three, you say, hey, we can start the game with Bayo. And if Bayo loses steam, we can go right to Sonny Gray. Or we could start Sonny Gray with the experience. And if he doesn't have it, we can go to Bayo. I think that's what Sonny Gray kind of helps in that regard. That you clearly are going to have at least someone who's a number two. But the hope is that you still get a number two. It does eliminate some of the conversation. Well, it doesn't really, because you're like, okay, so what does this mean for the reacquisition of Bregman? I think he wants to stay, but I'm sure Burroughs is probably telling him, you know, hey, look, you can go right back to your, right next door to your home state of New Mexico. Go to Arizona. They have no third baseman. They've got all the money in the world if you want to be a super rich guy. Like, I think that might be the dangling carrot, if you will. I wouldn't worry about Detroit, because I think about how short left field has been for Alex Bregman virtually his entire career. Houston and here. I don't think you want to necessarily give that up, because you can still have pop without, say, being in Detroit, and that'd be just a pop fly, you know, to left. I mean, that's just a museum there in Detroit. I really think the main acquisition that's going to happen, I don't think that the team is going to go get another two, but I do think they are going to be in the running for Pete Alonso. And I think the other side of that is Pete Alonso, I think, would be one of those people who would be excited to play for the Red Sox. I've said this about baseball. There does seem to be this desire of where you can find American stars and match them up in situations where they can really be pushed, marketed, so forth. Pete Alonso would be a perfect fit at first in Fenway. You know, kind of like, it still kind of have a little anti-Yankee in him because he was a Met. And can hit to the opposite field. I mean, you give him a short porch and left, and he can really, I think it might have been playoffs 2 years ago, where he was just right there in the middle of everything and was going to the opposite field to do it. So, you know, we talk about, like, what pieces do you trade off if you're trying to get some of these bigger pieces for the Red Sox? I don't know. You hear Abreu's name pop up, and I was like, well, you know, you give up a Gold Glover, you know, with Duran. That's going to be interesting. Cassis is going to be interesting. So as you're trying to get other players on this team, there's a part of you that feels like, wow, like, there's a lot of emotions that are going on, right? And even if you look at the Bregman situation, let's just say and I think probably 90% of us would want Bregman to stay. Let's just say there's that 10% chance that Bregman decides to go for the high, high, high money and gets out of town. And now you've got Mayer at third. I think management is okay with it. I think that's something that they discovered in the process of bringing up Marcelo Mayer last year. And they're like, hey, you know what? If we can get him, if we lose Bregman, we're not as panicky as we thought we would be. The other side of that is, it would then force management to really spend money for at least three players. Like, if you don't keep Bregman, there you've got to get a pitcher in, another quality bat, and you probably got to go after Alonso heavier than anybody else. So if Bregman not staying means that the Red Sox are able to get more tools, you might be okay, because at least, you know, defensively, you'll be okay with Meyer third. It's just a matter of, like, okay, how do you replace a consistent bat? Not a huge bat. We're not talking about, you know, Bregman and tons of home runs and stuff like that. We're just talking about someone who can consistently put the ball in play and give you some key moments, and maybe that's somebody else you find. And I think now you probably say, okay, how do you mix Jarren Duran in with somebody who's willing to take him? I think Cassis might be tough to move, just because I think teams are probably going to see, well, what can he actually do? Because you've had to kind of watch between the raindrops what he's been able to produce. Like, I joked a couple weeks ago with Lou Maloney when he was on John Lyons and I about, like, hey, look, could Cassis kind of be like another Bobby Dalbec? He's like, oh, no, he's much better than him. I totally get that. But the whole thing about Bobby Dalbec is, like, you saw the excitement of a pop from a bat, and then it never came again. With Cassis, it's like you saw a pop from a bat. But with these injuries and with everything going on, and say with Pete Alonso, who's available, who can also DH for you, right? Like, you're kind of like, hey, you probably need to strike now versus waiting to see if Cassis fully develops, right? If Cassis's glove had come along quicker, you're like, hey, look, the defense is there and so forth, and the bat had come along, Maybe there's a little more patience, right? But the glove really hasn't come along just yet. Probably some of the kind of the uniqueness of his persona stands out a little more than, you know, being healthy, staying on the field, being able to contribute to the team. You just haven't been able to see that in full yet. And either the interest in Cassis is going to get greater because he performs well on the field, but that probably means maybe you still do get Alonzo and you kind of, you know, rotate him in as a DH in your platoon, but you know, then you got Yoshida and you're like, okay, well, what does Yoshida do? And he's going to be, he's the toughest one to move of all of them. So you pretty much say, if your name is not Roman Anthony, things can be considered about your future with the Red Sox. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your last of your texts and your comments next. But right now it's time to trend with Josh Bracken. KJ Show, WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out on your Saturday. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. We're about 15 minutes away from the pregame for BC versus Syracuse to wind down the season. The first kickoff at 3 o'clock today. It's interesting. College football, it's just kind of tough to kind of catch a break a bit. Texas A&M, that was a good game last night. But at the same time, I do wonder what happens when you start having real pockets of disinterest that can be very interesting or very formidable for the sport itself, right? Like, all this college football talk is really great and everything, but like the New York market, Boston market, really, once you go north of College Park, Maryland, it becomes a disinteresting thing. And it, probably because of a lot of prep schools, right? I think that's part of it, is because you play a lot of prep school ball. You've been hearing the games on 850 AM WEEI for the playoff games here in Massachusetts. You know, that doesn't necessarily translate into massive program builders. You know, you'll find spot players in there. Size gets into the difference. You know, like for years, your offensive linemen would come out of like Oklahoma and Wisconsin and everything, because they're like, what do they feed these guys out there? Go be an offensive lineman, play football, stuff like that. But now it's college football really is really a Georgia, Alabama, Texas thing. Ohio as well. Penn State, I think, has been, that's the real fool's gold, if you want. It's been that way for a while, kind of treading off of its old name, right? For some might remember the way football would once go, like Pennsylvania was one time the hotbed. If you wanted a quarterback that was going to be absolutely out of this world, you get him from Pennsylvania. Now they're like in Georgia and Florida and Alabama. And then Florida became this place of this hotbed, right? So it keeps getting further and further away, but some of the really good teams through the years were kind of tied to, you know, these guys, you know, had pretty good academic scores. You could play at BC, but it's just really kind of tough to see what Bill O'Brien is going through with the school in terms of the team and how they've performed. You could see on the field where they've performed for him. I think it's just a case of, you know, when you have an area that doesn't really put the emphasis in the sport, like say with hockey, right? Like that's the inverse, right? Hockey, youth, right here all day. Hockey, youth, next to the facilities for the Carolina Hurricanes? Probably not, you know? So I think part of it is what's interesting to the region when people are kids, and then how that translates to the pros, right? So you look at hockey, you've got kids from Boston College, BU, the greater Boston area, all throughout the NHL. But, you know, but if you got college football, then they're all kind of gained, you know, together in one location, and you can kind of create that. I would love to see that with Boston College, just to be able to see it back on the map. Look, you're in the ACC. It's not a strong division. Georgia Tech, one of your better teams, they just lost to Georgia. Now, granted, it's Georgia, but the ACC is one of those situations where you're kind of like, hey, it could be your year if you put together a little bit of a program. So I'll see what happens over time. I really do hope that B.O.B. sticks it out. I think an NFL job may be calling for him at the end of the season, you know. So, and then who takes that job to come to B.C., it all be interesting. So hopefully, you know, these guys will play out strong for Bill O'Brien. Again, the pregame here kicks off in about 13 minutes here on WEEI. Talked about the Patriots getting ready for Monday Night Football against the Giants. Don't let it be one of those slip-up games. I think part of the narrative going back and forth between ESPN and WEEI and the whole conversation about Drake May, some of it might have been built in or baked into the idea of knowing, hey, the Giants in New York City are getting ready to play the Patriots. Even though the Giants are horrible, we've got to make this upcoming matchup pretty interesting. So get ready for Monday for a lot of talk. And you've seen Cam Newton put on the Teddy Bruschi jersey and all that. It's just carrying on. It's just kind of like, I'm just ready to play football. Just ready to see these guys get on the field. And with Jackson Dart coming back for the Giants, I do wonder if Jackson Dart will go back in there trying to be a bit overconfident just because Jameis Winston provides stability. And if Jackson Dart, if he gets hurt, he's back in the concussion protocol, I think they'll wind him down for the season. Or two, they look really bad that Jameis Winston has to come into the game. You know, Jameis Winston's your guy for the rest of the season. I mean, Jameis Winston is almost the Aroldis Chapman of the NFL. He's like so old, and we'll see you towards the end of the game. You know, so yeah, I think the Patriots are right on track to. I think they could keep the number one spot. I mentioned that. I believe that Drake May is really the MVP of the league, and because I think it solidifies if he beats Josh Allen twice in the regular season, if he happens to beat Lamar Jackson in Baltimore as well, that plays a big. I think that's probably the two biggest games remaining for the Patriots, and that has to do with the conversation about Drake May as MVP. Now, of course, the Buffalo game is important because you win that game. There's no question about the AFC East. You've won it outright. There's not enough games for Bills to catch up with you. And now it becomes a conversation. Are you the one seed, the two seed? Denver's got two losses. And so the Patriots are ready to do that Monday night. I actually have, Josh, I have heartburn. I have the worst heartburn right now. And that is because I ate too much dessert yesterday, but ate one plate on Thanksgiving. How many plates did you go through on Thanksgiving?
I would say I had about two, definitely not enough.
So did you, okay, so you answered my question. Have you still been eating on Thanksgiving food since?
No, I don't. I didn't host Thanksgiving at my house. I went to my aunt's house. So we don't have as many leftovers as you think. We kind of already went through them, but I'm not full at all from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I loaded up on something that's got like just sitting in my chest and twisting. And I'm just like, someone might say, KJ, that's a sign of maybe something worse. But I could tell because it's like, well, then they say also sometimes when your upper stomach is, it could be that going too as well. So I hope you've all had a great holiday season. Did you do Black Friday shopping yesterday, online, offline?
Technically, yes, but I wouldn't call it Black Friday shopping. So I actually went out and bought a new car yesterday because my old car got rear-ended and totaled.
Oh, man.
And so I was due for a new car, and I guess by chance, I didn't get a discount on it. I wish I had.
Yeah, because those don't come until like December, right? Like the end of the year?
No. And so by chance, I just went Black Friday shopping and got a brand new car.
So that's ironic because I was like, hey, I've never seen like car sales around Black Friday. Right, like they'll put everything else on sale, but I've almost never seen cars on sale on Black Friday. But there you go, buying a car on Black Friday. So, yeah, I was able to get down to the Carolinas. That's where I am now, to go with family, and we had a big spread. Ironically, there's only like one piece of family on my wife's side at all that's in New England, and they are the ones that brought it down to North Carolina. So when you're seeing all these Connecticut places, you're like, wait a minute, I'm like, oh, that's who's there. So they're the ones that brought the dinner down. They live like just on the other side of Springfield, right? Like once you get into Connecticut, like if you go towards Springfield and start heading down there. And so, it was like, I'd have to say probably 1, 2, 3, 4. There was probably like 10 to 12, you know, those big serving dishes. What do they call those big tin foil things, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the big trays.
The big trays where you have the burners underneath them?
Yeah, like they have them at buffets.
There you go, right? So there was like 12 of those, and you would go through the line, and people would serve you, and then at the house, I mean, I may sound richer than I am, but at the house here down in the Carolinas, my wife is able to bring all of this food back to the house, and so we've got to go through it all. And I think that's why I have heartburn, because I think I'm eating all this food too fast, because then you don't want to bring it with you. And then how do you keep it cold? And is it stuff like that and everything like that? So it's just like, I'm like rolling through full food, and it's got me, it's like literally stuck in my chest and in my neck and in my throat. I just feel very uncomfortable right now. So it's the crazy thing. I said before, I was like, I'm not going to be gluttonous. And then I think it's like, wow, there are three games on. I'll eat another plate. And then there it is, like, wow, this Bengals Ravens game is pretty exciting. Let me go get some more food. And then what do? Lay down. Worst thing to do. Like, you can't go and run. I probably should have gone to taking my little gym membership and taking it with me to one of the local places and spots and everything. So I didn't get a chance to do that. Yeah, we played a new game called Shootout. Josh, did you enjoy Shootout?
I loved it.
That's a neat thing. And so, sometimes you come up with these little things and you say, okay. Am I going to hear it again later this week? The Departed is such a great movie. Like, that's one of those, like, when you find it, like, I found it on Blu-ray, and, people are getting away from Blu-rays now for the most part. I still like a Blu-ray player because I like, having, the 5.1 or 7.1 system. I'm an audiophile. And so just watching that just turned up loud is such a good movie. Casino, not one of the better mob movies. That was one of them that came up. Donnie Brasco, very underrated. And then Goodfellas, which I went back and looked. Like, there's a site where you can see what the date was or near what year it was as Goodfellas moves along in the movie, even though they have they have different markers, like June 11th, 1970, which obviously is the famous one. And then, as it gets into the 80s and stuff like that. But it's like, hey, it tells you when Henry Hill went to jail and stuff like that. So pretty, pretty, pretty fascinating stuff. So, again, thank you so much for being here and for being part of WEEI on your Saturday. Hopefully you're enjoying your break. And if you've got to travel, just remember, just be patient with people as you're getting back and forth. As I'm about to probably burp here, so I'm just choking over here, Josh. Thank you so much for your work on your first day here. You have a great day as well. I'll be back again next week with John Lyons. Take care. And come on, BC, let's get one more before the season ended, because you haven't had one since Hofstra. Come on, man. See ya.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.